Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Home Practice with Hallie. I'm your host, Hallie Miraglada, here with the mission to make the tools of yoga more accessible to all bodies, no matter where in the world you make your home. In addition to sharing techniques for meditation, breathing, and the physical practice, I've recently begun to highlight the extraordinary efforts of some folks in the yoga industry. Last episode, we spoke with Nicole Cardoza of Yoga Foster and Reclamation Ventures, who is bringing mindfulness curriculum into schools across the nation and providing grants to underestimated entrepreneurs. This week, we are joined by Heijin Kalgonkar, owner and founder of a yoga studio called The Hot Room. Heijin, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Hallie. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolutely. So as you know, I'm a huge fan of The Hot Room. I've been to both of your locations in Indianapolis, as well as your newest location, which just opened its doors in the North Shore in Chicago. Congratulations on your new location.
Thank you. There's so many exciting things happening for The Hot Room right now. It's a great opportunity to share with you and the entire world about what we're up to.
How about starting with just a little background on The Hot Room, your business?
Really, a lot has happened in the 6 years that we've been in business. So in 2013, the fall of 2013, we opened our first studio on the north side of Indianapolis. And then shortly after that, 2 years later, we opened our studio downtown. And then shortly after that, we acquired our first studio outside of Indianapolis, like you had mentioned, on Chicago's North Shore. We also have a Fisher's location in Indianapolis area under construction right now, and the plan to have two more open. And who would have known on day one when we opened our first studio that it would have grown this quickly? It just blows me away. But when we opened the first studio, it was primarily a Bikram studio. So we taught original hot yoga, 90-minute classes, and it was the first hot yoga studio that taught that modality here in Indianapolis. And it was a great opportunity to educate the community on this very therapeutic healing modality. And then from there, we really expanded beyond the original hot yoga to offer Baptiste inspired hot power vinyasa classes, hot power sculpt with the addition of weights. We've also incorporated hot Pilates and yin yoga. So now we have a very diverse offerings for anyone where they can find everything that they really need. They can find it in one place in a heated environment. And we always have our heated environment so that it's accessible to anyone. It's great for beginners, and also you see results efficiently and quickly. Well, what's happened since then is that we've been so focused. We were, when we first opened our doors, we were like sharing, yes, this is what we do, this hot yoga practice. But now really what we're up to, Hallie, is building community through the practice.
What are some reasons why you think The Hot Room has such a vibrant and committed community?
Yeah, that's such a great question. Well, first of all, Ashish, my husband and I, we have traveled and lived overseas, and we have seen hundreds and visited hundreds of yoga studios. And so when it came to the realization that we had to build our own when we were moving from overseas back to Indianapolis, we just knew based on our experience what we wanted the studio to feel like, what we wanted the experience to be like. And it was very important to me that the moment that someone walks into our studio, they feel safe and welcome and just are entering a very positive environment where they feel good about healing and strengthening their body and mind. You know, there's this perception out there of what yoga looks like, right? And it's your white, Caucasian, very lean, slender female that is flexible. And from day one, it was very important that we set and create an environment where anyone, no matter your age, race, gender, color, ability level, no matter what, you felt welcomed in our space. And that has been something like a part of our mantra, if you want to call it, that we live by. And our whole team is passionately about, passionate in sharing. And so I think the moment you've come into our studios, you immediately feel that.
You have a community in which you can also genuinely see it. You know, there really is a diversity of practitioner. There is also a diversity of teachers, which I think is really important. And you're one of the first studios that I've seen who specifically created a POC or person of color scholarship for teacher trainings to create more access. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, to your point, when people come into our studios and they see the leaders of the studios representing a diverse community, they feel more accepted, right? They feel like, okay, I can do that because I can relate to that person because that person looks like me or has this, you know, same kind of upbringing or values. And so we want to make sure that we are building leaders within our studio, but also within our community, because it goes beyond our four walls of the yoga studio, right? Representation, inclusivity is so, so important to us. And it really starts from the leadership level, right? And once we can build a team of leaders that are diverse, then we will continue to bring in a diverse community of yoga practitioners.
Mm-hmm. And this is the first round that you had the applications for this particular scholarship. Is that right?
Yes, we had our first round and this individual is in our current Vinyasa teacher training right now. And so, so excited to see what he does out of this training in bringing more yoga into for people of color, but then also just as a leader within the local community.
And I love that you call your teacher training, is it the Leadership Institute?
It is, yeah.
So I know the Hot Room has been expanding its offerings to not only include teacher trainings, but also started to offer retreats. Can you speak a little bit more about the retreat program?
Oh, this is one part of our business that I am so excited to see grow. It is our global wellness retreats, and we just finished our first one in Mexico. We have a sold out, I mean, it has to be one of the biggest retreats ever. We have over 35 people coming with us to Costa Rica in a couple of weeks. And then we're going to Bali this summer, and there's so much more to come. But we really acknowledge that we can create a very memorable experience filled with movement, exploration, and relaxation. And our guests are coming to these experiences feeling very energized, restored, and more connected to not only themselves, but to another and really the world. And it's an opportunity for us to serve in a totally different way beyond our studios. It's such a magical experience, and you will create connections to others that are so long lasting. But yeah, for you as an individual, such an opportunity to rejuvenate and re-energize and come back with even greater clarity, right, on how you want to live your most powerful life. And we've got such amazing retreat leaders, and you know, Erin Pauly, this is really her work that she does of putting this all together. She's also a Manduka ambassador, so lots of exciting things happening in this arm of our business too. And we have more and more people coming outside, even the hot yoga. They haven't been to our studios, you know, but they're outside of our community, and we invite you to join us because and anyone and everyone are invited.
Amazing. Oh my goodness. Maybe I will show up in Bali with you.
Bali's going to be so special because we have really a very cultural experience. Think about Balinese cooking classes and in addition to all the hot yoga and hot Pilates. And so it'll be a really, really, really special retreat.
I know Hot Room was representing at the gala of the Indie Yoga Movement, which just happened in Indianapolis last week. Mm-hmm. You also are such an amazing charitable partner to your community. The Hot Room is a partner to the Panichu Foundation, which yes. is an organization that fights childhood hunger in the Indianapolis community. And they deliver homemade nutritious meals to food insecure children every week. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's an incredible, incredible program. You know, when we sat down with our the team about how we could give back even more to our local community, the Hot Yoga for Hot Meals program was essentially born. And so it's a referral program. Any new student, if you refer them to our studio, we automatically donate the cost of one wholesome meal, which is $5, to the Panichu Foundation. And last year alone, we were able to donate over $13,000.
Wow.
With our program, Hot Yoga for Hot Meals. And so as our community grows within our yoga studios, what blows me away is what we are all able to do together beyond our four walls. And that's what we're really up to, is just how can we, in the short time period that we have in life, like how do we make the biggest impact? And I love what the Hot Room is doing beyond just yoga.
How did that partnership come to life? Or do you have any advice for other entrepreneurs who might be looking to give back, to navigate, cultivate those kind of symbiotic community partnerships?
I think it really starts with where your passions lie, right? And so mm-hmm. for us at the Hot Room, health and wellness, just in general, getting people to access their most powerful, strongest life. A big part of that is also making sure that we fuel our bodies in the right way. And right here in our local community, we saw it. We saw that when we were doing the research of what other organizations could we partner with and make a big impact, when we saw the numbers, the rates of food insecurity right here in our backyard, it was a very easy decision to make for us that this would be something that we could make a big impact right away.
Do you also, your studio teaches classes to some of the volunteers of the organization?
Yeah, we're doing more and more of that, where we can incorporate yoga into the schools that we are serving, and also hopefully the school teachers too.
I think that's really beautiful that you're thinking on so many different levels when you're working these partnerships.
Mm-hmm. And all of this is possible because I have such an amazing community of people that surround me and allow me to think of how do we show up in this world in a bigger, more powerful way, right? There's no way I could do this on my own, right? So I credit not only the leadership team that I have, but the teachers that I have, all the way through front desk and all the practitioners and members that we have at our studios, to give us this opportunity to do this.
Definitely. Do you have any favorite books, whether they're yoga related or business related or meditation, that you keep on your shelf for knowledge or inspiration, kind of that next level of support?
Yeah, great question. Gosh, I'm flipping through many books at the same time. I feel like I never finish one, right? But, you know, one that I keep going back to that is a very simple read is just The Four Agreements, right? Mm-hmm. And going back to that, even as a leader of, hey, here are four very clear principles that we can operate from as an individual, as a human being, as a leader, has been something that I've weaved into a lot of trainings, and just even, you know, like within the Leadership Institute, even it's a core part of their required readings.
What are the four agreements?
Well, the one thing that I stress a lot is don't take things personally, right? So when you are in this world of, especially as a leader, and you're trying to get feedback from people, it's taking it with a perspective of it is there's you don't have to wrap a story around it, right? You take the feedback, right? And then you run with it, or you decide, okay, well, thank you, right? And you decide not to do with anything, but you don't have to dramatize it or add a stories to it, right? So don't take anything personally. Another one that I always talk about too is just don't make any assumptions, right? Having clear communication and just never making assumptions about what someone is thinking or coming from. Another one is, I think the other one was, be impeccable with your word, right? Mm. So when you say that you're going to do something, show up and do that, right? So that you build that trust and respect. And then
the last one is just do your
best,
right?
Yeah, it's always do your best, right? always do your best. And something that I talk to a lot is you never want to leave thinking, I could have done more, right? And all we have is this moment right now. You know, you never know, you know, like what's going to happen an hour from now or even tomorrow. You know, you have no clue. But in this moment right now, I know that I did my best.
That's some pretty good life and business advice. Good rules to live by. So you're both a yogi and like this powerful businesswoman who owns a studio in multiple locations, multiple states. What sort of experiences did you have that prepared you for this moment?
That's a great question too. Wow. I tell this story often. I grew up with my parents who were immigrants and came here with very little money, and watching them as a young child, they were also small business owners, from owning restaurants or sandwich shops or little mini grocery marts and things like that. And watching their work ethic and dedication to creating a life that allowed us to do what we wanted as children, you know, has always inspired me. That work ethic is in my DNA, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, but one thing when I was growing up watching all that is, it was very much taught that I would not have this kind of lifestyle, meaning being an entrepreneur, a small business owner is very hard work. And what you should do, Heijin, is go to school, go to college. And what you need to do is graduate and get into a corporation, Fortune 500 company, wear a suit, high heels, and have benefits in 401k and all of that, right? And so there was really no like people think, oh, because your parents were like that, did you think you were always going to be an entrepreneur? No, I never, ever wanted to go that route, actually. It was very, it just wasn't an option because I knew how hard they worked and there was a better life going this route. And so that's exactly what I did. I graduated from business school and then I went right into working with Eli Lilly and Company. I grew up in Seattle, but that's what brought me to the Midwest, to Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And I went up the corporate ladder that way, you know, and traveled a lot of different places with Lilly. And enjoyed my time there thoroughly. I enjoyed the people there and I learned a tremendous amount. But once I started practicing yoga, Hallie, it really changed my perspective on, okay, really, what do I want to be doing with my life? What really gets me up out of bed every morning? And what do I want to be doing that makes me feel my best also? And the more and more yoga that I did, the more and more I realized this is where I need to be. And so we lived overseas for a little bit and I had my first child overseas. And while I was on maternity leave, it was really my husband's idea, Ash's idea of, hey, you're on maternity leave. You have a few months off now from work, why don't you go get trained in yoga now and see what could open up for you by getting your training done? And so I took, Maya was 5 months at the time. I took her back to California and we spent 9 weeks in a yoga training bubble together. And talk about one of the hardest decisions ever, you know, going back to the US, leaving my husband in overseas, and then having a 5-month-old and trying to do a yoga training. You figure out a way and you get it done. And then we went, after the training, went back overseas. And that's where I did most of my training and teaching and really experiencing a lot of studios in that area. Mm-hmm. And when it was time to move back to Indianapolis, we knew there would always be that phone call, right? We knew then that instead of me going back into the corporate world, that it was time for me to open the studio. And here we are, wow, over six years later.
That's amazing. And Ashish is super involved in the studio as well. You have two children?
Yes. So I've got Maya. She just turned 10 just a couple days ago. And Annika, who's 7, and very energetic, busy girls. And Ashish was working for the same company for about 22 years. And he just recently left his job, another very difficult decision that we made, so that he could be all in for the hot room. He was seeing all that we were up to, and it was time where, like, if not now, then when, right? And so we made the decision for him to leave that job and just go all in on the hot room and help us really grow this community.
Wow. Do your girls come to the studio too?
They do. They do. There's moments where they're like, you know, I want to do some yoga, but I never pressure, you know, like I can't wait for that day where they say, Mama, can I go to a yoga class with you, you know, and my heart will just melt at that time. But they do like kids yoga classes, and we do fun things like glow in the dark classes for the kids. So they enjoy hanging out with their friends for those special events.
That's awesome. So you obviously have access to like some of the finest teachers in the Midwest because they work at your yoga studio. But do you have a relationship with yoga at home?
Yes. You know, it's interesting now that I am teaching. You know, when I first started, I was teaching 12 classes a week, right? When I first opened the studio, and it was just me and maybe another teacher, and we did everything, right? And now as the team grows, and what I do on a day-to-day basis has changed so much in a very short period of time. What I do from now since day one is completely different. And so I find myself where I want to be at the studio and taking teachers' classes and giving feedback and stuff, but I also need just a little bit of time that where I'm not in that setting, where I can just really just be on my mat and for myself. As honestly, a lot of times I may not even be able to get into the studio too. So before, I didn't really have a home practice at all. It was more just everything was in the studio, and that has evolved as my role in the company has evolved too.
Do you have any advice for people who are trying to start a home yoga practice, but maybe they feel some of the pressures of distractions, or they just don't feel confident that they know what to do? Do you have any kind of favorite routines to get you started or rituals to help you get in the right mindset?
Yeah. So I would start with just having a dedicated space. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're just throwing your mat down in the middle of your living room with all the other distractions around you, that's not setting you up for success. And it doesn't have to be a very big space. It could just be a corner of your bedroom that you create the environment that you want. Your mat is there, maybe a candle, maybe some incense, whatever experience that you're looking for, but it is a sacred space just for that. I would start there. And then obviously there's lots and lots of resources, podcasts, your podcast, obviously, and is a great place to start. And know that it's consistency, right? It's not about like doing a rigorous 1-hour practice. It's about, can you get on your mat, even just 10 minutes, start there, 5 minutes, right? But that consistency will compound over time. And then it'll slowly just become a part of who you are. Mm. And then you don't even think about it as another to-do, right?
Yeah, it's like a gift. You're like, oh, I get to go sit on my mat for a couple minutes. This is great. That's wonderful advice. I love when teachers come on the show because it's such a treat if you might want to guide us in a little meditation or visualization or asana or whatever you have in mind. Would you be interested?
I would love to do that.
Wonderful. Well, whenever you feel ready, we will be ready for you.
So I would love to share just a short meditation. And if anyone listening now, I would recommend just getting in a seated upright position. You're seated, but you're also very awake. Also, you want to find that balance between upright, but then also relaxed. So find that position. I recommend hands with your palms up. So you're in a receiving position. And now take a moment to close your eyes. The intention right now is for you to be comfortable in a seated position, but also fully alive and aware. I encourage you to use your body as a measure for your experience. So feel what you feel. Hear what you hear. And see what you see. And accept whatever is happening in yourself, looking at it clearly, simply because it is there. Let go of any tendency of all the things that you want to happen right now, and just allow yourself to simply be. Let go of any judgment, any critical thoughts. Drop your story about meditation and any limiting beliefs. Know that the way you are feeling is fine, not good nor bad. It's just the way you are feeling. Feel the weight of your body on the floor, supported by the earth. And sit in your true north alignment. Powerful, but at the same time, very free. Focus your awareness on the rhythm of your breath without changing the way you are breathing. As you take a deep breath, bring in more oxygen and more life into your body. You have a sense of relaxing more deeply. Feel the gentle rise and fall of your abdomen, your chest. Inhale and exhale. Breathe in newness, freshness, lightness, and breathe out, release tiredness, stiffness, limited thoughts. allow yourself to get out of your own way and start to truly be there for others. Today is the day to declare a new possibility that makes a huge difference to life. Bring your hands together in the center of your chest. Together we say, Namaste.
Namaste. That was beautiful. Thank you.
We'll be right back after a quick word from one of my sponsors.
Do you have a regular commitment to meditation, and do you use like kind of positive mantras like that when you are speaking to yourself in your meditations?
I'm going to be honest. My meditation practice is a work that I am in all the time. And a lot of times the meditation will come in after a physical asana practice. Mm-hmm. Versus just on its own, you know? So I take that time, like we say, sometimes meditation scares people, right? But even after you do your physical yoga practice in your shavasana, that is also just in stillness, be in meditation. And that's an opportunity just even for 10 breaths to find stillness in body and mind. A lot of times when the yoga class ends, everyone is in a rush to move out and they barely take a shavasana. I encourage everyone after your physical asana practice, just incorporate that in, and that can be your daily part of your meditation in shavasana even.
I was going to just say, it's like such a way to kind of protect and preserve the results of your practice when you just take that time at the end to seal it in. So I think that's really great advice to hold the space for meditation after a physical practice.
And it doesn't have to be long. And just like we talked about with your home practice, start somewhere, and consistency, it'll compound, and then it'll just be a part of your way of being, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really grateful we had this opportunity to chat about your experiences and also the Hot Room. Is there anything else about your journey or your company, your brand that you want to share with our listeners?
I think that the world of hot yoga, Hallie, right now is an interesting time for the hot yoga community. And if you're someone who's been familiar of the Bikram community too. I think that there's a lot in the media, there's a lot of negative conversations happening about what hot yoga is. And for the Hot Room, I want to make sure that this practice, this powerful therapeutic practice of original hot yoga, does stay alive, but we continue moving it forward in a very welcoming, positive, and always in service to others kind of in that way, right? And there's the practice is so transformative, but at the same time, how we do it with the Hot Room community is a totally different experience. So I would just share that if you're around any of our studios of in the Midwest, in India, or in Chicago, or wherever we start to pop up, I invite you in, because I really believe that what we're doing at the Hot Room is really changing the landscape of hot yoga. And I'm really proud to be leading that initiative.
Awesome. Hadrian, thank you so much for your time today and for sharing your knowledge and your expertise. And I'm just so thrilled we got to connect and share a little bit more about the Hot Room.
Thank you, Hallie. Thank you for all that you do, not only for the Hot Room, for the entire yoga community. You're such a gift.
Aw, thank you.